Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome. Thanks for listening. You know, that was certainly an interesting interview. We talk a lot about business sales and preparing for your sales and finding business opportunities for those of you who are out there listening. So I hope you'll take heart and give Chuck Pirtle a call if you have a chance. We're going to move on now with our next guest, who is Tony Martignetti. And Tony is with Martignetti Planned Giving Advisors. And They work with big nonprofit organizations. They get ideas for nonprofits to find out how they can make the most of their organizations, how their boards can work smarter, how they can work with their existing database of donors and people that are out there that want to help nonprofits and squeeze more out of their efforts. And, you know, these days that's real important because a lot of nonprofits have had to downsize because of the economy. You know, people have stopped giving for a while there. I think they're starting to give a little bit more. But it's really important for those organizations to get efficiency, and they do so much good work that it's really important. So, Tony, I'm really happy you could join us today. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Bill. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to be with you, Tony. You know, we have a whole section where we interview community leaders and heroes, we call them. And they're, the other day we had the American Diabetes Association on with us. We've had a local Olive Crest group that works with nonprofits and organizations. So these nonprofits are really dear to our heart. And so when I saw your information out there, I was really happy that you agreed to join us because a lot of our listeners participate with nonprofits. So tell us about you and what you do with your, with nonprofit organizations.
Well, I think what we're here to talk about is the show that I host, which is Tony Martignetti Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. The rest of my work is fundraising consulting, specifically in planned giving. I do some compliance work for nonprofits, but I think what we wanted to focus on was the show that I host.
Well, let's do that. Let's talk about your show. And you interview people that come up with these big ideas, which in turn helps the nonprofits, of course, out one way or the other. So tell us about some of the types of guests that you have on the show. How often does it come up, and where can our guests find it?
The show is a weekly. It's a one-hour interview format. I'm in a studio in New York City, and guests either come to the studio or they call in. I love to have them face-to-face. I just think you get a more robust, more personal conversation. I do stand-up comedy, so some of my comedy comes through. Not that I'm doing stand-up on the show, but we have a good time, put it that way, with our guests. The guests are people who have written books or are consultants or thought leaders in everything that I think small and mid-size nonprofits are struggling with. I don't put any definition on that. I leave it to people to define it themselves. I think the easiest way for me to describe the typical listener is I know who I'm not producing the show for, and that is Stanford University, University of Chicago, Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital, you know, the largest of the nonprofits. Those are the organizations that can hire experts on their own, and well, they probably could benefit by listening to a lot of our guests, but they believe that there isn't benefit in a podcast, charities that are of that size. But for the other 95%, we bring the same ideas and the same experts that the larger charities are hiring. And those are people talking about board relations, all the different topics of fundraising, and there are many, volunteer management, prospect research, legal compliance, finance, investments, donor relations, marketing communications, social media, technology. Again, all the topics that I think small and mid-sized nonprofits struggle with.
One of the beauties of having a show like that is that you get a wide variety of topics and ideas coming through. And after a while, you can probably start seeing some trends, right?
I do. And I put together some topics for us to chew on a little bit. Yeah, there are definitely some recurring themes. You also asked how listeners can find the show. And all the information about me, connecting with me and the show, et cetera, is all at TonyMartinetti.com.
And that's TonyMartinetti, correct?
Yes. Remember that? That's right. Thank you. You got the G before the N. Yes.
Okay.
MartinetiGnetti. Yes. The show is on iTunes. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow, we do the show every Friday, 1 to 2 Eastern. Tomorrow's show is number 200. We've been at this once a week for 4 years, and so we've got a very special show tomorrow with live music from the person who wrote our theme music, and we've got all our regular contributors calling in, and we're taking donor stories, and I've got a bunch of giveaways to give for the most touching and compelling donor stories. So that just happens to be tomorrow, our 200th show.
Congratulations on that milestone. It's when you look back, it's been a lot of work, but it's probably been a lot of fun, and it's really brought a lot of great information out that was otherwise not available to people. So that's you're doing great work, Tony. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much, Bill. It is a real labor of love. Absolutely, it's a joy producing the show and especially teasing the minds of experts and thought leaders. Because I know that it's all value for our, we have over 9,000 listeners a week.
Yeah, and that really, I mean, like I say, you're helping them to spend some quality time focusing on what the issues are and hearing it in a fun and conversational way. And that's what this medium is all about. So how many guests do you have on each show?
Either one or two. If somebody has written a book and we're talking about their book, I think an author deserves a full hour, so I'll have them on for the whole show. Otherwise, it's two.
Mm-hmm. So you've got somewhere probably between 300 and 300 plus minds to pick and come through. So what are some of the common trends you see? What are the biggest problems you're hearing from some of these organizations and the people behind them?
Biggest problem? My board doesn't raise money. And that is a very common problem for small and mid-sized shops. They have a very, very passionate board, but the board members, these trustees, don't want to ask their friends, family, and networks for money. They're passionate about the mission, but they are not effective fundraisers. And that's a recipe. I'm not going to say it's a recipe for disaster, but it's a recipe for struggle year after year after year. You can't get to the next level if your organization isn't adequately funded. And I think that obviously applies to small business and entrepreneurs as well. There's things that you just can't cut corners on. And one of them is board fundraising. And I don't mean it to suggest that it costs a lot of money for boards to fundraise. It's just something that you can't compromise. And if you do, if your board is not effectively fundraising, if they're not introducing you to their networks, bringing potential donors in, asking potential donors to give, hosting events, doing follow-up thank you calls. I mean, there's a lot of things that board members can do around fundraising. And if your board is not actively engaged in fundraising, you're just going to be struggling year after year, and you'll never help all the people that you could have helped. You'll never reach capacity and realize your potential.
What about have you heard success stories of groups that boards are being successful at fundraising? And if so, what's the difference between them and the average board that's not doing a great job?
The main difference is the boards that are successful at fundraising are challenged to do it. A lot of times it's the executive director or the CEO, whatever the title is, the person leading the organization on the employee side is not challenging their board to be active in fundraising. They're reticent because they're afraid they don't want to overtask the board. There may be politics or personalities involved. But as I said, this is something that just can't be compromised. A board has to be active in fundraising, and it is the organization leader's responsibility to challenge that board and to do it. And then maybe there's a need for some expertise. Maybe it requires a consultant to help them with their fundraising to get started. But it may not necessarily. It's just something that can't be compromised. And a lot of times it's that executive director who's not, as I said, challenging the board to take this on.
I'm picturing one of those boardroom posters with a thermometer on it. and that's probably
the fundraising
not the
thermometer.
The fundraising thermometer. And that's probably not an effective way. Is it most effective when an executive director discusses this privately with each board member, or is the peer pressure? Is there peer pressure that comes into play? What's effective? What would you suggest to somebody who says, you know, we're just, I can't get them off the dime? What would you tell an executive director, do you think?
Well, yeah, there are a few things. First, if there's going to be any new initiative on the board, I do think it helps to have some allies on the board before you bring it to the board at large. I think that's true of any organization, for-profit or non-profit. So, pays to talk to some people individually. Maybe meet with a board committee, and then, you know, when you know who your allies are and you've got a few, then bring it to the board at large. This is not something that can just be foisted on a well-intentioned board. And by no means am I, you know, in any of this suggesting that board members are lacking. It's just that a lot of times they're not asked.
Well, they're busy too. Busy people.
They are busy. But fundraising is a very, very fundamental board responsibility. And maybe the board, another suggestion might be that your board might be doing things that it doesn't need to be doing. It might be too involved in the day-to-day management when that should be left to the executive director and the staff, and maybe that would free up some time. Another way to get started is to, as I said, recognize that we're not necessarily talking about asking people for money sitting across their desk. There are a lot of things that board members can do to fundraise. I mentioned a few: hosting a party in your home, bringing your networks to the organization, thanking donors. That's an important part of fundraising, is saying thank you. Some people, you know, you might call it stewardship, but the thanking process, that's a part of fundraising. Boards could be involved with that, as well as sitting across the desk from someone and asking for money. These are all important tasks, and boards could be doing, you know, individual board members should be asked to participate in fundraising around their interests in fundraising. But they have to have some interest in the process.
You know, a lot of companies these days are embracing the concept of kind of side door marketing. And what I mean by that is it's the relationship building where you don't, you know, if you ask somebody 10 times directly, you're really starting to turn them off. But if you help provide interesting and fun and different kinds of messaging, and every fourth time you ask someone, is that you might have a better shot, because you're not just, you know, it's not like, oh my gosh, there's the you know, obviously people have their caller ID on high alert at home these days, but when it comes to board members asking people, I think that, you know, a lot of them might need some kind of methodology. So what's out there these days? Has there been anything good developed to help boards to have a program to ask properly and in effective ways?
Well, I've had a lot of guests talking about the tactics for implementing this. You know, as I said, I mean, sort of the way to get started is to acquaint boards, your board members, with their responsibilities. And then after that, I mean, there are hundreds of books about board fundraising. I have a knowledge base based on the 200 shows. I've put together a knowledge base at TonyMartinetti.com on board fundraising and also board relationships, two different knowledge bases. So there's five or six links under each of those categories, the fundraising and the management of the relationship. There's a lot of help out there. It might come from listening to podcasts. It might come from sharing a book. It might come from hiring a consultant to shake those trees a little bit. But it's, as I said, an important function. And you also, your question kind of suggests too that, you know, everything is not an explicit ask, and that's where the role of social media can be leveraged. And if the organization is in social media, hopefully then they are, you know, doing real engagement and not just acting as a billboard, but really having back and forth conversations with people, and that helps bring people to the organization as well. Not to replace the board fundraising, but as an adjunct, social media, real engagement, consistency of message, those things can help bring potential funders also.
Yeah, there is a lot of, I mean, let's look at the last 10 years, Tony. There's just been a ton of new technology developments and ways to reach people and build relationships. And not all boards and not all executive directors have adapted. And that's a shame because there's probably a lot of tools at their discretion. So if you're a board member or you know of a board member and you have them listen to this, be sure and have them listen to Tony's podcast and check out his website, because, you know, if anybody's a thought leader, it's somebody that's been sitting in front of 300 different board members and people that work with nonprofits. You're really in a great position there, Tony, to be a thought leader and to collect and kind of filter the information to help people really get the best of the best. So,
thank you, Bill. They're the experts. I'm just picking their brains.
Yeah, exactly. But by picking so many brains,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you're pulling it all together, and that's how you position yourself as a thought leader. And I've interviewed 250 advisors on preparing for a business exit. Some of it starts to rub off. You know, you see trends, right? You see trends after a while, and you go, look, here's the top. I've talked to 250 advisors. I can tell you what the top 10 things they say are. It's not rocket science, but if 250 top advisors are saying it, you ought to pay attention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yep.
So what you're, I love what you're doing, and I'm really going to do my best to make sure that our listeners and our community leaders are listening to hear your wisdom and your information. What are the top three or four tips you could give our listeners out there, Tony, about what you've learned?
Aside from what we already talked about, those count. Those are very, very important.
They absolutely
about
count.
boards and fundraising, and really being truly engaged in social media and not using that as the bulletin board. Fundraising is a team sport. You know, there's not one person. It's not golf. There's not one person who is responsible for fundraising in an organization. So if your nonprofit is thinking, well, we're going to hire a director of development, and that'll take the pressure off all of us, board members, executive director, everybody, that's wrong thinking. Everybody in the organization that has an outward face, from executive director to boards to anybody doing the work of the charity, you know, that important program work, whether it's feeding the homeless or, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, whether you're saving lives or you're saving trees or the oceans, if you're out doing the work, the public work of the organization, you're a fundraiser. That may not be your primary job, and for most mm-hmm. people it's not, but you're an adjunct fundraiser. You're part of that fundraising team. I'd also say that messaging and identity need to be consistent. Another theme that I hear from a lot of my guests. Your mission, that charitable mission, is at the core of everything you do, and all the communications, the marketing, the branding, the thinking are around that core mission. And that is important because it's the glue that binds everybody together. It's the road that keeps everybody headed the same direction, following that core mission. So you want your identity to be around that in terms of the language that you use, the photos that you use on your site, the photos you use and the videos that you might put on your Facebook page or on your YouTube channel, your own site, of course, all consistent around that core mission. And sometimes it's worth spending money on identity and branding, because a lot of us are not creative enough to recognize what can be in support of that core mission. So I'd say that's another area that it's short-sighted to to sort of try to be penny wise about, and that the messaging and the identity of your organization. What? I'd also say, ask for help. I have an interview from someone named Eric Saperston, and it's on my YouTube channel, which is Real, R-E-A-L, Tony Martinetti. And one of the points he makes there, I think, is near brilliant, that the your likelihood of success is in direct proportion to your willingness to ask for help. None of us is an expert in all the areas that we need to help the charity that we love. And, of course, I mean, more generally, Bill, this applies to entrepreneurs of all ages, whether you're, I don't care if you're 50-plus or 20-plus. Mm-hmm. You can't be an expert in everything that you need to be done. So ask for help.
Great tips. Very, very valuable information here. And I think one of those tips as well, Tony, as you so well put it, is when you're asking for help, go to school. There are great radio shows and podcasts like this one for Tony, the Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio Podcast. You'll find it on iTunes. Tons of ideas. Again, 200th show coming up. Congratulations on that, Tony, and thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And you know, our heroes out there are people that are going out there and helping people that need help in these nonprofit organizations. So thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Bill. I thank you very much for having me.
I've been talking with Tony Martinetti, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.